Welcome everyone, you're listening to Innovator Die, a podcast about innovation, digitalization and aviation. I'm your host, Lorenzo Muzzilli. Today, I have a conversation with Marcel Keggi, co-leader of Focus Innovation and Digitalization Unit, about competition in the U-Space environment. Marcel is responsible for the development and implementation of strategies in conjunction with disruptive innovations such as U-Space, and is an expert when it comes to regulatory questions in this context. As we all know, traditional ATM is a natural monopoly. It's more efficient to have one single service provider in one volume of airspace than having several. However, U-Space will likely change this. Marcel will explain us the reasons behind this, the expected benefits and challenges, and possible regulatory approaches. So welcome, Marcel.
Hi, Lorenzo. Good to be with you.
So, Marcel, the first question is, why is ATM still done in a monopolistic manner? Like, explain us this natural monopoly concept and how it applies to ATM.
Yeah, I think there are three explanations. The first one is that states have regulated ATM to be a monopoly. The main reason for that is that states are concerned to have more than one service provider in one volume of airspace for obvious safety reasons. Traditionally, there was one ANSP per country. However, states have introduced some competition by allowing different service providers to service different volumes of airspace, so for example, around aerodromes. Sovereignty also plays a role here. States see the management of airspace as a critical national interest, and they want to ensure that these services, the ANSP services, are available at all times and at the desired quality. Therefore, having some level of control over an ANSP also helps states to achieve that. The second explanation is that consumers of ATM, which are mostly airlines, they can't really choose where to buy air navigation services from. I mean, they could theoretically do that by routing their flights through airspace that is managed by more efficient ANSPs and thus by cheaper services. However, fuel costs are so much higher than the cost airlines pay for ANSP services that airlines have no incentive to do so. The third explanation is that there are very high barriers to entry into the ANSP market. The initial investment in the physical infrastructure that is currently needed to provide ATM services, so the CNS infrastructure, is very high. So if a competitor would want to enter this market, they would have to build a parallel infrastructure to the one that is run by the incumbent. And this would require a very high upfront investment. Also, ATM is still a very human-centric activity, so ATCOS, humans, speak to pilots, which are also humans, and this makes it very difficult to share data between service providers that would service the same volume of airspace, because this data would have to be exchanged very quickly and with a very high reliability. And therefore, it's just simply more efficient to use one single provider in one volume of airspace.
Here comes the drones, right? So how will drones and UTM or U-Space will change that?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think one reason for the natural monopoly of ATM is the human-centric nature of service provision in ATM. This is due to the fact that humans speak to humans. Voice has a very important role, so air traffic controls on the ground speak to pilots in the cockpit. And therefore, exchanging data between service providers, between different ANSPs on the ground, in the same volume of airspace was so far just simply inefficient and also unsafe. Now, if we look at drones and UTM, their computers will speak with computers, right? This has the potential to dramatically change the way services are actually provided. The driving force here is the fact that the respective procedures can much more easily be automated, and the respective data can be exchanged in a much more efficient way too. And in turn, this introduces the possibility to regulate and standardize the interoperability between service providers in UTM. We usually call them USSPs or USPs. And with this regulation and standardization, we can enable competition between more than one service provider in the same volume of airspace. And in this context, I think the interoperability work that ASTM is doing is particularly promising. They have come up with this concept called DSS, this Korean Synchronization Service. You can think about it like some sort of dynamic phone book that allows every service provider to know who else is in a given volume of airspace and how to connect to them. And what we are currently doing in SUSI, the Swiss U-Space Implementation Private-Public Partnership, is we try to show that it is possible, based on the DSS standard, to exchange data in a safe and sustainable and automated manner. And we also, based on these findings, try to figure out what regulatory approaches are most appropriate to enable this at scale. For those listeners who are interested in this subject, I recommend to check out the podcast with my colleague Benoit on network-based remote identification, where the DSS approach will be in use at scale for the first time.
Excellent. Thank you, Marcel. And I mean, it seems like we are headed towards a more competitive approach, right? With the advent of drone, UTM, the new technology, the DSS. But so what would be the advantages? I think those may be obvious, but what are also the disadvantages of such an approach? And how we balance those two out?
Let's first talk about the disadvantages. We can look at how ATM is provided right now. For example, in Europe, there's a big push to make ATM more efficient. I think this has several reasons. One is that ATM in Europe is still rather fragmented in structure. Another one is that, according to the European Commission, ATM costs are annually roughly 4 billion euros too high if they are compared to a more efficient system. This is also the reason why airlines often criticize ATM for being too expensive, and they also criticize ANSP for being reluctant to implement new technologies. And I think this makes sense because, due to the natural monopoly I mentioned before, ANSPs really have limited incentives to modernize their tech, right? Another disadvantage was recently pointed out by the Swiss Court of Auditors, who looked at the governance aspects of ATM, and they made quite an interesting observation. They came to the conclusion that, due to the monopolistic nature of ATM, it is really hard for the state to enforce findings, right? Safety, or also findings emanating from economic regulation. If there is a problem and the state would like to enforce action on this, the state does not really have the option to shut the ANSP's business down because, as I mentioned before, states usually consider ATM services to be critical, safety critical, or also just simply in the national interest. And shutting down an ANSP to enforce a finding is not really an option because obviously states want to have ANSP services available continually, right? If we talk briefly about the advantages of a competitive approach, first and foremost, it leads to a choice for the consumer. And this choice creates various beneficial incentives, right? For example, there is now an incentive for ANSPs to work efficiently, to implement better new technologies quickly, just because obviously they want to be chosen by the consumers. And if I look at UTM or a competitive framework from the regulator's perspective, I think there is an advantage in that competition makes the regulatory approach potentially lighter, because we won't have to address pricing anymore. At least that's what we hope for. Because prices, ideally, if we get the regulatory approach right, will be set by the market. But for that to happen, obviously, we will need to come up with a functioning regulatory approach. At the same time, I'd like to emphasize that there are also challenges with this new approach.
And that's now a good lead to my next obvious question. It's like, all of what you are describing, the ATM and the nature of ATM service provision, is obviously heavily regulated, right? So it seems to me that to switch from this monopolistic approach to a competitive approach, there will be a massive amount of regulation that needs to be changed. So how do you go about that? How will regulation change?
I think that's a very interesting question. This is really something that we are trying to figure out in Switzerland with our SUSI, Swiss U-Space Implementation Private-Public Partnership, where we try to learn lessons from practice and then figure out which regulatory approach makes sense. And what we figured out so far, and maybe also I'll throw in some assumptions where we're not completely sure yet, but I think the direction in which it goes is that safety regulation will remain relevant, right? You need safety approvals for ATM service providers, which operate in a monopolistic manner, and you will need safety regulation for USPs. However, where it changes is, I think, when we look at interoperability. While interoperability, if you are in a monopolistic manner, still, of course, plays a role because aircraft transition from one flight information region to another one. So interoperability is already needed in ATM. But in UTM and for USPs, it will become dramatically more important, right? Because you will want USPs to be able to exchange data if there are several aircraft managed by different USPs in the same volume of airspace. So again, there we are looking at the approach that's contained in the ASTM standards on the DSS approach, which is decentralized and allows competition and the related data exchange to happen. So regulation will need to look at interoperability, will probably need to mandate standards on how this interoperability will be done. Another, I think, change will be on the economic regulation, where in current ATM in a monopolistic environment, we basically looked at costs, so how expensive is it for an ANSP to provide its services and then regulate how much they can charge for the services they provide so they can't exploit their role as a monopolist. It's very simple. I mean, of course, it's much more complicated than this. For example, in Europe, with the reference periods in the performance framework, there is the intent to sort of simulate markets to increase efficiency, but for the reasons I've mentioned before, it's really hard to do that. And in UTM, if we assume that a much smaller part will still be done as a monopoly, this regulated pricing approach will only be needed for that part. And for the other part, the market should set the price. What we are still looking at is whether there are other structural factors in the future UTM market that might lead to network effects forming and to maybe create new natural monopolies. And what we want to figure out with SUSE as well is to identify those as early as possible in order also to find a regulatory approach that try to prevent market forces leading to potential risks that service provision will be characterized in the future by new monopolies, and that would then again decrease innovation and efficiency. So there we're really still in an early phase.
And Marcel, while you were speaking, something came to my mind. It's also like the need of flight rules and new airspace structures, I guess, right? And with that comes to me the immediate question of fairness, right? What will such a decentralized approach mean for fairness as far as access to airspace is concerned?
I'm working in drone regulation since quite some years. I mean, progress is rather quick, but when I think back, it still looks like ancient history. But the first challenge we had was we looked at how can we do safety approvals for drones. And there, we in Switzerland and within Charles, we came up with SORA, especially you, Lorenzo, a new way of accessing airspace for drones in a safe manner, right? Then we figured out that with SORA, it's possible to lower the barriers to market entry, so smaller companies could commercially access airspace with drones, but we had a scalability issue. And then we started to push for UTM because we needed a more sort of digital friendly way to access airspace safely and to mitigate air risk. And I think the third big hurdle that's now in front of us is, as you mentioned, is flight rules. So how can we, considering that we have now a new regulatory approach, considering that we have or should have soon UTM, how can we make sure that, considering all of this, access to airspace remains fair? Because you can imagine that it's quite challenging if you have different service providers, different aircraft, different operators that want to access airspace. How in all of this do you allocate priority? And there, I think we really need to think about ways and means that consider the fact that now it's not humans anymore that want to access airspace, but computers, and computers are more suited to making decisions based on algorithms. So what we are trying to think about is how can we come up with flight rules that can be administered in an algorithmic way, in an automated way, but that still make sure that legitimate interest for priority to airspace access, for example, for medical purposes, etc., can be granted. So what we need is really the sort of a digital priority list and an approach how we can, in a decentralized manner, give priority for entities wishing to access airspace. And I think that's one of the big challenges we are trying to tackle now also through SUSE and internationally. I think in addition to that, what we need to say as well is that considering due to the fact that ATM was provided in a monopolistic manner, or it still is, it is prohibitively expensive for some for new entrants that are wishing to use the airspace where you probably don't have established business cases like you have it in transporting people commercially, for example, with airlines. So at the moment, it's really hard drone operations to scale because also access to airspace is so expensive. So if we find ways, and I think UTM is a big cornerstone, and the flight rules are the next one, that really maximize the efficiency and lower the cost for airspace access, also for new entrants, then I think the access to airspace will be much, much more fair, which is something that motivates me personally a lot to work in this field.
Excellent. Thank you, Marcel. Thank you for the conversation. I found it very, very interesting. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Lorenzo. It was great.
And that's all of this episode of Innovate or Die, a podcast about innovation, digitalization, and aviation. If you'd like to listen to more of such conversations, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast or stay in touch by signing up to our newsletter at www.foca.admin.ch. In case you have any questions, contact us on LinkedIn on Swiss Space Implementation. This podcast was produced by the Innovation and Digitalization Unit of the Federal Office of Civil Aviation. Thank you for listening.